Okay, today is December what? 11th? All right, let's quickly go through a little bit of what Marvin talked about last week. What was the title of last week's teaching? Yes, ma'am. The feast. What kind of feast, Daniel? Spring feast. We still have some feasts to talk about. What are they? The fall feast. Good. Why is that important? Those are shadows that haven't been fulfilled yet. Somebody give me a spring feast.
Passover.
Passover, good. Give me another one. Boy, this must have been a really good teaching last week. Go ahead.
First fruits.
First fruits is another one. Very good. We were trying to remember it this morning, Hannah.
Unleavened bread.
The unleavened bread. So you have the Passover feast first. Then there's 7 days following that of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Then the Feast of First Fruits, which would be representative of Jesus Christ being the first fruits, the Lamb of God, the firstborn from among the dead, first living from among the dead. What's the last one?
Pentecost.
What does that mean? Am I teaching something new, brother, or going too fast?
Yeah, does it mean the 50th day?
Yeah, Penna has to do with 5 or 50 days. It's the 50th day after what? 50th day after the resurrection. So Jesus taught for 40 days after the resurrection. Then he ascended 10 days later, the Feast of Pentecost or the Day of Pentecost, when the Holy Ghost came and fell upon the 120 in the upper room. Okay, so that's where we are with that teaching. Brother Marvin, praise the Lord, is going to teach the second part on the 25th. Which is a few Sundays from now, I guess. And those will be future feasts. The Feast of Trumpets. What are some others? Anybody can remember what some of the fall feasts are besides the Feast of Trumpets? The Feast of Tabernacles. Very good. That's where God dwells with mankind. Feast of the Atonement. That's a future thing or a present thing? Good question. We'll leave that for his teaching. All right, so let's get on with today's teaching. If you want to get your notes out, I'll give you the outline first. Today's outline is only 4 points, and I will wait for Sister to come back before I get started.
What's the title?
I'm sorry. Volume 9 of our series, Book of John series, chapter 4, verses 28 to 54. The title is called The Woman Preacher Question Mark. The Woman Preacher Question Mark. It's chapter 4, verses 28 to 54. Chapter 4?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm just checking your correction.
You're right. No, I was in Luke.
Sorry. Yeah, Luke would be a different book we're going to study, son, later. But today we're studying the book of John still. Chapter 4, verses 28 to 54. Let me just read that. Everybody turn your Bibles with me. I'm sorry, I jumped around there. Let me give you the outline first. Then I'll do the reading. Everybody ready? It sounds like she's ready. Okay, so the first point we're going to talk about, you might want to leave a lot of space in between these points because there's only 4 today. Women preachers, question mark. And that's verses 28 to 30. Women preachers, question mark. Jesus taught evangelism, verses 31 to 39. That's the second point. Jesus taught evangelism, verses 31 to 39. Point number 3. Samaritans come. The Samaritans come. Verses 39 to 42. Last point. And Jesus returns. Verses 43 to 59. Jesus returns. Verses 43 to 59. When everybody's caught up, look up. If I lost you, look up and raise your hand. Okay, let me cover the 4 points again. Women preachers, point number 1. Jesus taught evangelism, point number two. The Samaritans come, point number three. Jesus returns, point number four. Okay, let's hold it down there on the floor. Young lady, Missy, excuse me. Lydia. She's fine, I'm kidding. She's fine. John chapter 4, verses 28 to 54. The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, Come, see a man which told me all things that I ever did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, Hath any man brought him aught to eat? Verse 34, Jesus saith unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Say not ye that there are yet 4 months, and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto eternal life, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye entered into their labors. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, He told me all that I ever did. Verse 40. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word, and said unto the woman, Now we believe not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Verse 43. Now after 2 days he departed thence, went into Galilee, for Jesus himself testified that a prophet hath no honor in his own country. Then when he had come into Galilee, the Galileans received him, having seen all the things that he did at Jerusalem at the feast, for they also went into the feast. So Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, where he had made the water into wine, and there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Verse 48, Then Jesus said unto him, Except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. The nobleman says unto him, Sir, come down ere my child die. Jesus saith unto him, Go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. And he was now going down, and his servants met him, and told him, saying, Thy son liveth. Then inquired he of them the hour which he began to amend or heal. And they said unto him, Yesterday at the seventh hour the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at the same hour in which Jesus said unto him, Thy son liveth, and himself believed, and his whole house. This is again the second miracle that Jesus did when he was come out of Judea into Galilee. Alright, so first point of today's teaching is women preachers. Very controversial, hot topic. And I followed it with a question mark. Women preachers, question mark. And this is concerning verses 28 to 30. And many in our day will suppose that women cannot preach or proclaim God's word or testify of things that the Lord has done in their lives. And they'll do that for a few reasons, a few good reasons actually. But So some will believe that they can't teach at all or preach at all. And others will believe they can witness, they just can't preach or teach. And I think both are errors, I'll explain why in a moment. There are three main ways to preach, so, you know, open-air preaching, gospel preaching, which we do quite a bit of, and you can do one-to-ones and small groups, and then of course literature, where you pass out tracts or give somebody a Bible booklet or even a Bible itself. These are ways to preach. So some objections to women preachers. Here they are. Objections to women preachers. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 11 to 14. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 11 to 14. Objections to women preachers. Second verse, or set of verses. 1 Corinthians 14, verses 33 to 35. Verses 33 to 35. So, Brother Josh, if you would read that first passage in Timothy there, Josh G., and then Joshua Bell, if you would read 1 Corinthians 14, verses 33 to 35 after he's done.
1 Timothy what?
1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11 to 14.
Let a woman learn in silence with all submission. And I do not permit a woman to teach or to have authority over a man, but to be in silence. For Adam was born first, then Eve, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman, being deceived, fell into transgression. Nevertheless, she will be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith, love, and holiness with self-control.
Thank you. Okay, other brother Joshua?
God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. Let your women keep silent in the churches, for they are not permitted to speak, but they are to be submissive, as the law also says. And if they want to learn something, let them ask their own husbands at home, for it is shameful for a woman to speak in the church.
Okay, so those are the primary verses that people will use that say that women cannot preach or witness out in the open air to lost folks. Okay, I think that's an error because clearly by the context of these verses, it's talking about in the churches. It's talking about among the saints of God when we come together in fellowship for teachings that women should remain quiet and meek as is their calling to do. And there's a reason why, it explains in 1 Timothy chapter 2, the reason why is because of Eve's sin. Eve's sin in the beginning has affected, has put a limit upon women, womankind, in the sense that they are now put into a role that's submissive to men, submissive to their husbands. Okay, so there's a submissive role that women play with their husbands, and that role translates into the fellowship of the saints. You understand? Okay, so I'm going too fast. Please raise your hand. I'll slow down a little bit. This is probably a really important part, or one of the core parts of the teaching today. So we don't want to throw out the baby with the bathwater. Of course, if women can't preach or be a witness to the lost out in the open air, out in where Jesus said, go in the whole world and make disciples, go in the whole world and preach, how does that translate for women? Can women preach to women? Can women preach to men as far as proclaiming first what God has done in their lives and secondly what Jesus could do for a lost person? That's the question. So now I want to give some verses that are contrary to the ideas that I just gave you, okay? Or supportive of the idea of women preachers, okay? And at the end of that, then I'll explain what I mean by women preachers, okay? I do not mean Christian teachers inside of a church, inside of a fellowship. By women preachers, I don't mean that, okay? All right, Titus chapter 2, verses 3 to 5. That's the first verse I'm going to give you. The next verse I will give you is Acts chapter 18, verses 24 to 28. Then John chapter 20, verse 18. Luke chapter 2, verse 36 to 38. chapter 21, verse 8 to 9. Okay. In Titus chapter 2, we see older women given the task of teaching the younger women about how to love their husbands, about how to care for their children, some specific things that they're tasked with being examples of and teaching and sharing. I think that, you know, in our small fellowship that the women do that with each other. They share different techniques and different things that they're doing to strengthen their families. We look at Proverbs 31 as an excellent framework by which a woman might lead her household in these things, in teaching of the younger sisters and the younger brothers.
Did you say the younger brothers?
Yeah, when a son becomes a Christian, he's also a younger brother. So when I say younger sisters in the fellowship, or younger sisters and brothers in your own natural family, if they're born again of the Holy Ghost, they're younger sisters and brothers.
So I'm not giving an objection, I'm just seeking clarification.
Sure.
I mean, you're saying that a woman is going to be teaching boys if the boy is younger than the woman?
Boys are defined as those that are not men yet. So the children of the fellowship could be taught by an older woman in the fellowship. Yeah. Not young men. There's a transition period I'm going to talk about here in a minute, where you go from boys to young men, and then that would shift. Okay, so older women. Let me just read the passage for you. The aged women, likewise, that they be in good behavior, as becoming holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. So, maybe I brought in some confusion there, didn't mean to, but so the older women would teach the sisters of the fellowship and be examples of how to be keepers at home, Proverbs 31 type women. And of course, all the women are going to teach their own children, their own family members, of course, and they could be tasked by, as families agree, to teach other children in the fellowship, like a Sunday school teacher type deal. We've never done anything like that, but it could be. Acts chapter 18, 24 to 28. We see the tale of Priscilla and Aquila, both of them teaching man of God. The man of God's name was Apollos. If you'll turn there in your Bibles with me.
What was it?
Acts chapter 18, verses 24 to 28. Priscilla and Aquila both taught Apollos. Alright, now a certain man, Jew, named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man, mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught accurately the things of the Lord, though he knew only the baptism of John. So he didn't know the baptism of the Holy Spirit, didn't know the baptism of fire that Christ would bring. So he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Aquila and Priscilla heard him, they took him aside, and explained to him the way of God more accurately. And when he desired to cross to Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him. When he arrived, he greatly helped those who had believed through grace. For he vigorously refuted the Jews publicly, showing from the scriptures that Jesus is the Christ. So here we see Priscilla and Aquila being the man of God that taught Apollos, but Priscilla with them, or with her husband, teaching this fellow believer something he didn't understand. So a helpmeet, a wife, can work with her husband to help other believers understand things, clearly by this scripture, something that wouldn't be done normally in a fellowship, normally in a church, like the church in Columbia or the church in Knoxville, the saints of God in Albuquerque. John chapter 20, verse 18, Mary returning from the tomb, we see an example of another woman giving a testimony of something that happened. And what she saw was that she had seen the Lord, and the things that he had spoken to her, she testified to the disciples in the upper room. Where were they? They were locked in the upper room. And so, lest they heard this testimony from Mary, they probably would have stayed right there in the upper room. But what happened? They left and went to see for themselves. Anna, speaking in the temple, Luke chapter 2, verse 36 to 38. She's a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher, of great age, and lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. This woman was a widow of about 84 years, who did not depart from the temple, but served God with fasting and prayers night and day. And coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of Him to all those who looked for redemption in Jerusalem. So here's a woman that's speaking to people about the Lord, to those that are looking for the Christ. And something that's interesting about this passage, I thought, that she was married for 7 years from her virginity. Let's suppose her virginity, if she was married at the age of 13, so when she became a widow at the age of 20, plus 84 years, at this point, she would be 104 years old. Is my math right on that? So if she was married at the age of 13, for 7 years, she was now 20 when she became a widow. Now she's widowed for 84 years. She's 104 years old in the temple testifying for those that are looking for redemption. Now she had been doing this, fasting and praying and sharing in the temple for 84 years. That's an incredible ministry. To be fasting and praying to the Lord for 84, that's faithful. That is faithful. That's faithfulness. That's love unto the Lord. Okay, Acts chapter 21, verses 8 and 9, this is the last example I'm going to give, talks about Philip the evangelist and his prophetess daughters. He had four daughters who were prophetesses. I'm not saying that right. Prophetesses. Can anybody say that with me? Prophetesses?
Prophetesses.
Prophetesses. Okay, so the plural of prophetess. Prophetesses, there's four of them. I think that's right. Anyway, so he had four prophetesses. Now a prophetess is the female, the gender of, the Greek is prophetuo. Greek Strong's number 4396 is to foretell events, divine, speak under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, to exercise a prophetic office, to prophesy. And we see in Ephesians 4, verses 11 to 12, we see that God has given some to be teachers, some to be apostles, some to be prophets, not prophetesses, but to be prophets, to edify the church, to build up the church for their good works. Okay? So just, what should be our conclusion about these matters then? Firstly, as I made the point earlier, that women should not speak or teach in authority in the church setting among the saints of God, the fellowship of the saints. They should not seek to usurp authority in these areas. But we don't want to throw out the baby with the bathwater in the sense that obviously from just the scriptures I gave, women are able to speak about the things that they've experienced or the things that they've seen. They can give a testimony. They can talk to the unbeliever and the believer alike about scriptures. about things, not seeking to teach or take authority over a man. And I would just add this in there, two things. First, that it's needful for women to be out there sharing their faith. Needful. Because there's lots of young women out there who are lost as goats. And they're on their way to hell. And women have a special kinship with women. Women have an understanding of other women that men can, we just can't relate to them that way. So a young woman could share something with another woman that she would never share with a man. Never. And so thereby a ministry that you could do, a young woman or older woman could do with a woman that I could never do, that no man could ever do. So, like I was saying, we don't want to throw out the baby with the bathwater. So that's one point, that women can do a ministry that men can't do or not able to naturally do or spiritually do. And secondly, God's call for us to go out in the whole world and tell people about the good news of Christ doesn't just apply to a certain part of the body of Christ. The whole body of Christ is to go and tell. And the good news and warn people. And if there are parts of the body that don't have to do that, then let's just chop that part off and say, no, you're not for this. This is not... This thumb doesn't work with the body. That doesn't make any sense. So we want to be careful here with this idea of women preachers. Women preachers, we don't, should not see women teaching inside of a church. But for a woman to proclaim the goodness and severity of God to the lost, I think is a different situation. Now, and we've experienced this as well out there in the open air where instead of just proclaiming the gospel, it starts to get into some kind of teaching where you might have a Christian out there and he's wanting to understand what she means by this or that, then she should defer to her husband or other men that are there with her. And so I think that's important to note as well, that women shouldn't be out there by themselves preaching because they need to be able to understand and refer to men who can help with other Christian men out there on the street. So, and she might ask, "Well, brother, why don't you help explain it to me? And or why don't you help turn around and explain it to all these lost people in front of us?" So, I certainly don't want us to violate God's word or God's command on these things. But at the same time, we don't want to create things that are not there in scriptures. Okay, verses 31 to 39, Jesus taught evangelism. Jesus taught evangelism. We see in this passage that that the disciples had gone to get natural food for Jesus to eat. While they were gone, the Samaritan woman was in town telling people about Jesus. "Come see this man who told me things that no one knows except God. He's the Messiah." And so they came. But Jesus is talking when the disciples return to him about food, natural food. He talks to them about spiritual food. "I have meat to eat. The meat that I want to eat, the breakfast, the lunch, the dinner that I want to eat is that which God has given me to do. And God came to seek and save that which is lost." And we lose this primary focus of what God's work here is on this planet, then we lose a purpose for being a Christian, period. One of our primary purposes is to minister to people the gospel so that they might be converted and they might inherit the thing that we're going to inherit and enter into a kingdom that none of us deserve. We talked about this before, a couple weeks ago. We talked about the kingdom of God. Do we deserve streets of gold? Do we deserve to be with Jesus Christ for 100 years? Or 1,000 years? Or 10,000 years? Do we deserve that? Did we earn that? Or has God given us that by His goodness and His grace and His mercy towards us? The answer is apparent. No one deserves God's goodness. We deserve His severity and wrath. But He wants to give us an inheritance. And that's good news, that we can obtain something and be an heir of salvation, that things that we don't deserve. So having obtained that in the future, shouldn't we want to help other people obtain it as well? Shouldn't it be a concern of ours that we go out and tell, hey, man, in your sin, you're going to die in your sin, you're going to go to hell for your sin. Well, how can we do that, or how will we do that if we're living in sin ourselves? Always coming back to this theme, aren't we? Always coming back to this theme, aren't we? I see you. Okay, so if half the labor force, going back to the wind preacher's thing for a moment, if half the labor force is negated because of a doctrine that we create, because women can't teach in the church, they couldn't possibly go out and minister or witness or preach out there, then half of our labor force is gone. Half of the workers are gone. And what person would that make sense? How does that make sense to anybody to say, well, half the labor force is no good for this? All right. Back to this section, though, the meat to eat. In Luke chapter 10, verse 2, Daniel, you're going to read that? And the other chapter is Matthew chapter 9, verse 36 to 38. Seth, you're going to read that. This meat to eat should be the same meat that we desire. That's the harvest. Go ahead, Daniel.
Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest.
Yep. Good?
Yeah, what was it?
Sorry, it's Mark chapter 9, verse 36 to 38. You know, and Jesus said, I came to make you fishers of men. Mark chapter 9, verses 36 to 38. So Jesus came to make us fishers of men. Just men or fishers of mankind? Ready, Seth?
Yes.
Go for it.
Then he took a little child and set him in the midst of them. And when he had taken him in his arms, he said to them, whoever receives one of these little children in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives not me, but him who sent me. Now John answered him, saying, teacher, we saw someone who does not follow us casting out demons in your name, and we forbade him because he does not follow us.
That was a very nice reading. I'm sorry I told you Mark, didn't I? Mm-hmm. Yes, Matthew chapter 9. Sorry. Matthew chapter 9, verses 36 to 38, not Mark. Sorry about that. And I'll just read it, unless you want to, Seth. You want to read it? Are you there?
It says Matthew 9, 36 to 38.
Yes, sir. Go ahead. Let's try it again.
But when he had saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered like sheep, having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest.
Amen. So since I came to holiness 13 years ago, since I began to labor in the harvest field, I'm always praying, Lord, raise up more laborers. And it's a very important meat for Christians to eat. You need to get off the milk and get on to meat. And grow thereby the meat. The milk is a good place to start. But Christians get stuck on milk. And they're always drinking milk and never eating any meat. How can they grow thereby? They won't get beyond baby stage as long as they stay on the milk. And that's abnormal. That's not what God wants for us. Because how does a baby run? Babies can't run. If you're going to run a race like Paul was talking about, how would you do it as a baby? You got to grow. And part of growing the last 13 years I've found, and those that are actively witnessing can testify with me, that through exercise and running and eating meat, that is doing the Father's will and seeking and saving that which is lost, whether you're male or female, then by golly, you're going to grow. You're going to want to seek out the Scriptures. You're going to want to understand Scriptures because you'll feel very foolish out there without God's Word as a sword to help attack the enemies of God. All right. Third point. The Samaritans come to Jesus. These last two points are pretty short points. We'll get through them rather quickly, I think. Verses 39 to 42. Two groups of believers. Okay, that responded to the Samaritan woman's call. Responded to this woman preacher. Okay? The first group came, believed what she said, and they came. The second group came, but they didn't believe until they heard from Jesus directly. Okay? So there's two groups of people, of the men of that city that she went to preach to, or went to testify to, or be a witness of, or whatever word you want to use, of what she did. She gave a testimony about a man that she met at the well. So there's two groups there. That's the only thing I note about those passages. One were believers right out of faith from the beginning. The second were believers when they heard directly from Jesus Christ. Verses 43 to 59... Jesus returned to Galilee, the place where he had done the first miracle, the miracle of turning the water into wine. And there in that region, or that area, a nobleman's son was dying. And by faith, this nobleman believed what Jesus said when he said, "Your son has been made well." And that faith was confirmed when he went back and found out his son, in fact, had been healed the very hour that Jesus said so. And this is what we need to believe. We need to believe that God can do what we ask. He doesn't have to, but we need to have faith and believe he can do what we ask by faith. Amen? We need a healing. We need a breakthrough in an area. We need whatever the issues are, we need to believe God and obey Him by faith. Amen? Yes. Questions? Yes, sir.
Regarding the experience of the end of the teaching.
That's the end of the teaching, yes.
So, you mentioned